All I got to say about this morning is chop chop.
Chop chop?
Yeah, well, I have a cold and I really ought to be there rather than here. Who is the question from? The idea of fundamental reality is merely a name. The discourse is merely words, quotation marks. Yet contemplating these words and concepts has a salutary effect on consciousness. We've answered it. It's exactly what it does. Salutary effect. If you have a salutary effect, you increase your possibilities of realization. Because you certainly get the realization based on a healthy consciousness and not on an unhealthy. It's not so much the thing in itself as the fact that it is salutary. What is happening? Just look at it. You can see it happening. It's just a wholesome state of consciousness, which is investigation of Dharma. It's awake. It's wholesome involvement. You certainly don't think you're going to get enlightenment based on some of your activities, do you? I'm serious. No way. Tearing around here and there, associating with fools. Mangala Sutta, not to associate with fools. I mean, that's all your environment. What are you doing? Enlightenment is based and could only be based on wholesome states of consciousness. And so the question comes down to how many and how much and how you understand. What's your continuum involved with? What are you basically on about? Tearing here and there, thoughts all over the place, right? I mean, get the message. It's ego focus. All these things should be just aspects in which you have, basically. Get the message. Is non-clinging awareness, you see Dharma as good and bad and wholesome, unwholesome, arise and pass away, but be ye not moved, right? They're all, right? You cannot change the world. There will be nasty people, but they do not have to be nasty for you. Be ye not moved, be ye an island unto yourself. The word for dipa, which is island, is also the word for light. Just remember you're insular. Watch, rising and passing away, rising and passing away. Shall I tell you what enlightenment is?
Yes, simply,
what it is. Okay. Now, have you ever had a cold?
Yes.
And have you ever had a cold to the point where you cannot taste anything?
Right.
And you cannot smell anything. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody in this room who hasn't had one to that extent? Mm-hmm. Now, you're in that state. This is the state you're in now. Mm-hmm. But once upon a time, you remembered that there was tasting and smelling.
Smelling.
Yes. I mean, this is exactly. I dreamt it up myself. You've got to learn Dharma from everything. And then you get into the study, you understand, and then after involvement, trying to take care of a situation, and there come little, was that a taste? Was that a smell?
Yeah.
It's very ethereal, just there. And you continue, and then more and more, and suddenly, you see, you're not dwelling on something or trying to do something you haven't experienced. And then suddenly back, taste is back, smell is back, and everything's hunky-dory. And that's what it is. Now as I look at him there, of course, I get another image in my mind. The turtle! It's a turtle if I've ever seen one. It's got a shell. But, you know, there's the fish. And the turtle. And you're studying the book. Okay, remember the book. I'm telling you the geography of an island. Beautiful island, refuge for everything. Now the turtle's been there. It's been up on land. Came back. And the fish said, "Where have you been, Brother Turtle?" Climbing to land. What is that? Are there fish swimming about in it? No. Does it have, you know, coral that you can eat? No. And everything that they try to explain by the sea, he has to say no, 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 no. Never asks that the island is, and the descriptions are impossible, impossible. And so is the state of the awakening. Or another simile. Any more questions? By the way, I came here to chop chop your questions. That's all, you know, that's where I came from. So you're not going to deny me, are you? And you see, you get your ideas, you have your ideas, but this is one of my complaints about a goodly number of students who simply haven't got the idea yet. They haven't seen the glimpses. They're taking this therapy and that therapy, and involved with this reading and that study, and somebody wrote something on it, right? And it's beautiful, you know, but they're in dark night. And these are just stars, you understand? They're stars in the sky. And by the way, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of stars that you couldn't possibly have time to visit. They're all over the place. All the therapies, all the readings, all the... You understand me? And you're still doing it. And here you got the Dharma. But of course, when you actually see the Dharma, it's like the sun comes out on an absolutely clear day. And all these other things, they fade away. There literally is no need. All healings, all therapies, all this, all that's in the Buddha Dharma. And that's it. That's it. You'll be very dogmatic about that one. But all the stars, they're very beautiful. They may or may not get you a suitable rebirth. But they are not liberation. They are fixes. And you have to, you know, experience the two in one truth. Yes, no. What is the two? Yes, no. Two in one truth. The answer is not yes. It's not no. All right? I want you to write down the following saying on the board and use it as a koan. You know, dead end of your speech. It's, I believe, by Kabir. The unstruck drum of eternity is sounded within me, but my deaf ears hear it not. Now, you're asking about purpose. See, that might, the purpose. The salutary effect would be to stop the gibberish occurring. You don't have to strike the Dharma, right? You don't have to get the Dharma. There isn't a moment when it isn't sounding. And the second part, which I leave you, by the way, to meditate on, which is the answer to it? Is it a sort of yes or no? Are his ears, has he really got deaf ears because he's blind or she is in the world, whirling around? And so, right? Inability to hear. What's already declared. Or does it have another meaning? No need to hear anything. Anyway, you can, work it, as they say. Now, have you any questions? The whole thing is about question, to raise a question, because raising questions is raising consciousness, activating consciousness from just as inutile matters of this, that, and the other that are going on. It's sieving. You know, when you have one of these sieves for gold, and the one thing you need for getting gold is oil. Yeah, you need a bit of grease. Like, I think it was Gambopa. It was one of them. Studied with Mil Repa, you know, and this, that, and the other. Got all sorts of teachings. Oh, my God. He probably had this book, that empowerment, this one, that one, the other one, you know. And he says, you really haven't given me the final thing, you know. Go, go, go. So he kind of reluctantly, you know, there's something else. And so he starts to go over the, you know, Tibetan rather arid landscape, which is important. And he gets down to the river and still not quite satisfied with this, you know, rather like he hasn't given me the empowerment to walk on water kind of thing. You know what I mean? There's something, you know, just like that. And he turned around and there was, you know, Maripa there. And Maripa called back. So he gets back. He said, you want the final thing, don't you?
The real teaching.
So Milarepa turned around, lifted his robe, showed him his bum. His bum in his face. And of course there were calluses all over it. And he turned around and said, sit. Lots of sitting. In other words, meditation. Not all these scriptures and environments and this and that and the other and all the rest of it. Get some calluses on your bum. It's as simple as that. That's the high teaching. It has a salutary effect, right? Calluses on the behind mean no calluses in the mind. Now, have you any other questions? Oh, of course you have, but they have you. You're at home with questions, questing, eh? But are they questing? Yes.
When you're referring to section 3, all these are caused by me.
Yes. The point is, there's no separation between this and that, me and non-me. That's fairly direct. There it's referring to the state of the Tathagata of suchness. All these are suchness. That's basically that's what it's saying. And it's not me in the ego sense. It's really pointing out the non-separation between me and not me. It's in capitals, isn't it? M-E. Me. You. Now, the point is, I know me, but you don't know you. Well, you know, in the ego view is a restricted me. There's no seeing me. How totally connected. Once you see when you're totally me, there's awakening. And in order to do that, you have to pass beyond me identifications. The fifth or sixth patriarch of China, tomorrow by the way we do Wei Lai, and his discourses, his reflections, if you will. But there came a time for the fourth or whatever it was to pass on. And he let it be known, you know, Tiananmen Square and so on, you know, even today in China there is still this thing about posting sayings and big red letters, you know, because red represents beauty, and also in Russia. And poetry and, you know, you have the literati have a place where they put their latest works. I mean, it's a long tradition. So he was passing away, and he said, I will transmit and give the patriarchalship or whatever you want to whoever can compose the best poem about Dharma. So the abbot of the monastery, he wrote, right? Polish up the mirror bright so that no dust can alight. A very adequate piece of poetry, right? And having to do with salutary effects, right? And the cook, chef, happened to be wandering by, and he wrote a sort of question there. Where there is no mirror bright, where could the dust alight? So the patriarch called him at night. He said, here's the rope, here's the bowl, get the hell out of here, because they'll all be jealous. They're in position, position, position. They want the bowl, they want this. He didn't even want it. He wasn't searching for that, he just said, right, the natural question, where there's no mirror bright, where could the dust alight? And you're thinking in terms of polishing the mirror. And you polish and you polish and you polish and you polish. And you polish the mirror, and suddenly the mirror isn't. Mm-hmm. You're polished right through the mirror. Or somebody else wants to shatter it. Right? Don't make a distinction between the mirror and the dust. Or the me and the me. Anyway, that's a bit of commentary. Okay? Yes?
There's also reference made to Buddha lands and pure lands. Can you just explain that a little bit further?
Well, the in general, in that type of teaching, which basically you don't have to make a distinction or know about, but they made like between heavenly states, deva states, as a result of good karma. They were called like the pure lands. And you're in a much purer state of consciousness, and you could hear the Dharma then. You're not so distracted in the city of Toronto doing this, or in London, and whirling around, whirligigging. I call it whirligigging. Mm-hmm. Right? Your gig. So to be born in the pure land, they thought, well, the consciousness is meritorious enough, another salutary effect, to be reborn in much better conditions, to hear, be able to hear the Dharma, see the Dharma directly, and there they would awaken quickly. Awakened beings would come to them, or deeper spiritual beings, whatever your vocabulary is, and teach the Dharma. You see, it was like this, it's like this, it's like this. And they're not, you know, I sent a message to the fish saying, this is what I wish, and the answer came to the back, we cannot do it, sir, because. And this is happening all the time. The Dharma here is being declared, but you, we can't do that because we got this, 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 and this going, even if it's only books and getting more papers and whatever it is. But in there, they can actually hear the Dharma, they can get the realization. That's like that substrate, you know, that passage mm-hmm. referred to substrate, not having to be reborn, to be born in the pure land. And also when you have the Amitabha, you know, may I receive a prophecy, and may you be reborn. And one of the things in the transference of consciousness, etc., in empowerment, is that you be reborn, all of you, in to be able to hear directly the Dharma without because. Without because, with all the little becauses you put in. You're so busy running around putting fingers in the, keeping the dam from reality flowing through you, the stream. And then the Buddha lands is obviously where awakened beings are, not pure lands is where beings to be awakened, pure state of consciousness, so that they can hear the Buddha, the full awakening. That's Buddha lands. He wasn't thinking lands, that's just a name. It's a level of experience or whatever you wish. Or planet X in galaxy 0021. You know, whatever it is, you don't have to think like that. It's just that by the practice of, say, the Mahasatipatthana, you to have a great awareness, uncaught, not getting caught in things. You can do everything, but don't get caught in it, or relatively everything, providing you're in a state of wholesomeness. I think St. Augustine said, love and do as thou wilt. If you're in the state of love, then justification is from the love, not from the act. The Buddha said, I said, because unto you the Chaitanya has karma. And it comes back to that, this, what have we got to practice? Total charity, total love, total compassion. That's your work. Not necessarily thinking. Not necessarily even thinking this. That would help you to realize what he's saying there. You see, some of the mystics, their ears are deaf. They don't see visions. They're in the presence of God. They don't need visions. They don't need to hear. They don't need to see. They don't do this or that. Pure land. They can wake up. You need a pure land. So, have you any other questions? Yes.
At some point, too, there's reference made to the Raja of Kalinga.
That's a mark of time. It's literally the king, or master of the marks of time. It doesn't really have to do a great deal, but it does appear in, of course, direct empowerments. Yeah, the marks of time mutilate your body. It's very straightforward. Yes.
Would you say that genuine caring is only when you're in a state of loving kindness?
Yes.
Can you have genuine caring?
Yes.
That's all.
That's all. Yes. Although it's not genuine. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the so-called good act, even a mother's love, right, is not necessarily genuine. That's why, in a way, like a mother taking care of an only child, and in involvement, there's a loving kindness, or this is my child. You understand the number of different motivations that can be in motherhood is infinite, almost infinite, from day to day, changeable day to day. And it's not necessarily genuine in the one sense. It could be, I need to feed the child. I need to be a giver. Need that ego. It's not necessarily the child's need. So on. So I take it to motherhood because in that you see the all possible manifestations. Strong manifestations of what's on about an act of so-called charity. So finding out this the state of metta, defining it and feeling it, and dana, the relationship between Metta and dana. I mean, for example, there's one stage, an insight, where you have to give. You have to give. It just springs up. It's far beyond like guilt giving. It's one of the stages of insight that you have to realize. You have to give. It's an imperative. And if you practice, you know, Mahasi Sayadaw's method, it's bound to strike. Just suddenly, you'll want to give everything to the Lama or the teacher or the teaching. Right? Totally. A total giving. And that's why, of course, you see, in a way, but the teachers play with that a little coyly, like the guru say, karma power, son, is receiving empowerment from the king, you know, whatever it is. Vast piles of gold. What shall I give? Vast piles of gold. This, that, the other. Because there is the state where there is the wish to give. give everything. If you had the whole universe to give, you would give the universe. And of course, you do have. So, yeah. But it's a unless you've experienced it, you won't know what I'm talking about. You just got to. So before that, there are little impulses I have to give, but not a full defined one of the 16. And there's another thing about this, because it's sort of like St. Peter, that principle, you know. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That is, the Petra there is a little stone, and your little acts are actually, if you wish, part of the great rock. They accord with the great rock, the church. The church is made of the little pebbles, petit pada, the little footsteps. And so occasionally you will have a feeling to give. And it reflects, if you wish. Well, let's put the mirror back here. It reflects what actually the awakened state is, which is total giving, unobstructed love, undifferentiating compassion. So, you understand, it's a pebble to that rock of St. Peter. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and this the two in one, whatsoever thou shalt loose shall be loosed, and whatsoever shall bind shall be bound. And you will see that consciousness is both loose and bound. You know, the first step of insight is to see the nature of the calm mind, the loose mind, and then to see the nature of the active mind, bound. Oh, loose, we should be loose, you know, hang loose, you know. Oh, not quite. Right. Well, my mind's very active, nothing wrong in that. You know the nature of mind. Because of the looseness, it can bind all things. Because it has the power to bind all things, it can let go of all things. That's the awakened state. St. Peter's keys. So you can go to St. Peter's and you can kiss his toe. It's been worn away by millions of people by now. Okay. More and more that phrase that you will see, this act is conducive to enlightenment. It's conducive. And you have much more of a sense, this act is it. What I'm doing here, what I'm doing there, you know. It's not condemned, it just isn't. It isn't productive. Like a farmer does a field, a miner in a mine. Right? You're not in the right vein. Really? Okay? As far as enlightenment is concerned, you may be having a jolly time, but it's not sama ajiva. The unstruck drum of eternity is sounded within me, but my deaf ears hear it not. Yes?
I'm not sure that the Diamond Sutra gives me much more than just the notion of...
But it won't give you much of anything.
Okay.
The Diamond Sutra doesn't give you much of anything. In fact, it doesn't give you anything. So, that's it. Dham te putta among the Savaki and Wai Namtu. Dham te putta among the Savaki and Wai Namtu. Dham te putta among the Savaki and Wai Namtu.